Sarah Eamon, sorry. Wonderful spirit that she has, and especially her husband and children. We almost want to keep you here. Pretty much. You almost blended in with our musicians. Sounded almost like them a little bit. But you're right, Minister Cora. I think the pastor's going to say something to us by flying through service. I was in the back, and I'm going to begin in just a minute, but I was in the back, and someone told me, I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and drink some water and eat a little chips before I get up there. And then someone said, no, you better get your tail out there because they're going to fly through service. So that's why I'm out. But I guess I'm going to take my time today then. I'm going to take my time. If you have your Bibles, you may want to turn to Acts, the second chapter. Acts, the second chapter. Most of y'all know where it's at. That's right after the four Gospels. Acts, the second chapter, the first through the fourth verse. And it says, you may stand by reading God's word. If you don't have it, I'll definitely read it to you. Acts, the second chapter, the first verse says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all on with one accord, within one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. You may be seated. People of the Pentecostal movement, in the beginning, they all often said that how do you know that someone is actually filled with the Spirit? And what they taught, what they said in the beginning was, the way you know someone is filled with the Spirit is by their confession. And they said that if they confess that their transformed life, then we must believe what they say. They confessed it. Then it came along and said, well, no, because if we believe that the way we know that someone is filled with the Spirit is by their lifestyle. They said an adulteress will stop being adulteress if he's filled with the Spirit, and then an alcoholic will stop being an alcoholic. So they said, no, that's not quite it. And what the Pentecostal movement thought about, they said, well, the way we know that someone is actually a Spirit-filled is that they must speak in tongues. This is what they believe. And the Pentecostal movement believes that speaking in tongues is the evidence of speaking in tongues, the knowing that you feel with the Spirit, not a evidence that you're filled with the Spirit. But see, the Pentecostal movement for over a generation has practiced over and over that you're not saved unless you speak in tongues. So any of y'all that did not speak in tongues, guess what? According to their records or their teachings, you're not filled with the Spirit. And I've heard many pastors and teachers and prophets, evangelists, they have these meetings and they teach that what they teach in their meetings, that they teach that speaking in tongues is a mystical thing and that it's the ability where the Spirit of God comes upon you and operates through the Spirit. It bypasses your mind and it speaks directly through your mouth. They believe that, to make it lame term, what they believe is that when the Spirit speaks, it speaks through your mouth, but your mind stays out of the conversation. In actuality, they believe that your mind is, the way you begin to speak in tongues is that you have to empty your mind of all thoughts. Empty your mind of all unconsciousness, almost getting yourself into an unconscious state. Then once that you're in this empty mind, that they believe that, and what they teach after that is that once your mind is empty, free of all thoughts, they feel that the way the Spirit comes upon you and the way you yield it is that you have to speak rapidly. They want you to speak, pray rapidly. And then after you pray rapidly, then the Spirit will move upon you. And you'll be involved in conversation with the Spirit of God, and your mind won't be there. This is what they teach. Then they also teach that if there is, and when you're speaking in tongues, and if you don't understand it, if you don't interpret it, God will always have someone there to interpret it for you. This is what they're teaching. Now, it's fine to me that if they want to stand at the altar and empty their minds and try to understand what God is saying, that may be fine to them. And it's okay to me if they want to stand at the altar and speak rapidly until the Spirit comes and fall upon. That may be fine for them. But my thought is that don't brainwash people to thinking that they're not filled with the Spirit if they don't speak in tongues. In other words, they're forcing people to fake it. Some of these high, mighty pastors and preachers, they're real good, y'all. They can turn it on and turn it off whenever they want to. And they can cause people to pass out. In Corinthians, the Bible teaches, it mentions tongues in three times in the Bible. It's Mark, the 16th chapter, Acts, the 3rd chapter, and Corinthians talks about speaking in tongues as well, too. But see, throughout the scriptures, in the Old Testament, whenever God wants to speak, he always spoke in a language that they didn't know if he was going to judge them. You remember the handwriting on the wall? When God spoke, that was a language that they did not understand. So God was judging them. So what they did was they went out and they found a man named Daniel and to interpret what God said. They did not understand this language. Not only that, but speaking in tongues was also given as a sign of the day of Pentecost. That when the Spirit comes upon you on that day, you will begin to speak in utterance of tongues. Not only that, but the Bible also teaches this, and I think this is where the Pentecostals get their teachings from, is that the tongues were spoken to others and given to others so they can be added, so others can think and know that they're added to the church or added to the body of Christ as a proof, a sign that they're filled with the Spirit. And this is where they get their teaching from. But also, speaking in tongues was also given to the disciples as an added plus to their ministry. To support them as they spoke, the Spirit moved upon them and gave them utterance. Now, said all that to say this. Paul, in the book of Corinthians, speaks about tongues. But when he speaks about tongues, he speaks on one reason only. And you know what that is? To reprove the Corinthians about their misuse of the tongues. He wanted to correct them on their speaking in tongues. See, the gift was a gift for edification of the church, the building up the body of Christ, but they began to edify themselves. And one of the bad things about these faith teachers and these pastors, they begin to mandate everybody to speak in tongues. They say, well, if you have the Spirit upon you, speak in tongues. Well, you can't do that. You can't mandate God to speak when you want him to speak. You can't mandate that. The Spirit moves when he wants to move. He speaks when he wants to speak. You can't, see, they're good. They can turn it on and turn it off because all they want to do is, y'all, they want to seem more spiritual than you. They want to be able to be, they want to be put on a pedestal. They want to be elevated. They want to be honored. And all they do, y'all, when they do this, all they do is they prostitute the work of God in something that's pagan, which does not represent the work of the Holy Spirit. What Paul wants to do here with the Corinthians, he wants to do two things. He wants to correct them, and not only that, but he wants to restrict them from speaking in tongues. Now listen to me very carefully, y'all. I don't want to lose you. At times, we do allow people to speak in tongues. We do give people a platform to speak in tongues. Y'all follow me? Because the reason is because God does speak, and we do not want to hinder the Holy Spirit from moving into someone's life. Not only that, but it is a gift of God. Not only that, but it should be a part of the church, because Paul does not forbid us or want us to eliminate the gift. He does not want that. 1 Corinthians, you have to write this down. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 39th verse says, "Wherefore, brethren, commit to prophecy and forbid not speaking in tongues." But don't get happy, y'all. And don't get all fancy and say, "Oh, man, we can speak in tongues. Yes." I'm not finished. When we do allow people to speak in tongues within the ministry, it must, three things, y'all. First of all, it must have an overseer. Now, there's three things I'm going to say. The 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 22nd verse says, "Wherefore, tongues are a sign." It's a sign. It's a sign to the believer and to the sinner that God is speaking. It is a sign to the believer and the sinner that you need to stop, look, and listen, because this is the Holy Spirit that's speaking. Now, what makes it a sign? Because after all, demonic spirits do speak in tongues as well, too, and they also give us signs. So how do we know that this is a sign of God, that God is speaking? Do you know? The way we know that it is a sign of God, that God is speaking, because God is what? God is love. And the Spirit is going to speak love. He's going to speak kindness. He's going to speak hope. He's going to speak repentance. He's going to speak deliverance. So this is a sign that let us know that this is God is speaking. Now, demonic spirits, they do speak hatred and fornication. They speak gossip. We know that that is a sign of the demonic spirits. So therefore, we cut them off. The second one is that you must have an overseer. Now, listen to what I'm about to say. It's the verse 29 in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. It says, "Let the prophet speak," meaning that those that are speaking in tongues, "let the prophet speak, and let there be two to three at the most, and let the other judge." Now, what he means by this is that the overseer wants to make sure that the conduct of the service is carried out. They want to make sure that if you're going to speak in tongues, that it must be interpreted. Right. Ephesians, the 14th chapter and the 16th verse says, it says, "For the reason why is because for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body." No one can understand you if you don't interpret it. Right. I was watching a foreign movie. And I love foreign movies, but one thing I hate about foreign movies is, and I don't know if y'all are in the same boat I am in, I hate watching foreign movies where they have the movie and you got to read. I hate that because it's hard. It's hard to focus. I don't know about you, but after a while, I quit reading. I just watch the movie. Hopefully, I can understand it. Y'all in the same boat I am in? And then one time I was watching Godzilla, and I like the old Godzillas, but one time they didn't have no words at all. They were speaking Chinese, and the first thing I did, I just turned it off because I didn't understand nothing. But this way, the reason why they play the movie and put the words at the bottom, because so everyone can benefit from the language and so everyone can interpret what it's saying. The same thing applies to tongue. That God, you remember in the story how in the book of Acts, I don't remember, that there was a eunuch that was riding a chariot. And while he was riding a chariot, he was reading out of the book of Isaiah. And the Bible said that the angel of the Lord came to Philip and told Philip to go down to Jerusalem. And he heard, and when Philip went down to Jerusalem, he heard this eunuch reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip said to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And what if the eunuch said? He said, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And in other words, what he's saying is, I'm reading God's word, but I need an interpreter. I want to know what he means when he says this. There ought to be no speaking in tongues unless there is an interpreter. See, the same as people watch movies and read it, we want to do the same thing. We want to watch the Spirit move and understand what you're saying. The same thing applies. Now, This is the reason why, and let me add this. Not only does the overseer watches or interprets what make sure that people speak in tongues, but the interpreter is to make sure that the church is edified, meaning that when you speak, I want to make sure that people benefit what you're saying. You're not going to get up here and speak lies about the congregation or to that individual. Because sometimes the Spirit allows you to speak corporately, individually, or in a group. So we are not going to allow you to do that or air out people's dirty laundry. It's to edify someone, to build them up. And thirdly, there ought to be, when you speak in tongues, there ought to be no more than two or three. There ought to be, and Paul simply says, there ought to be a sequence. Not everybody be speaking in tongues and nobody interprets what it's saying. Paul says, let the first one take their turn and the second one be quiet. And then when their turn is done, then the second one comes. Now, let me add this. Let's say, for instance, we have several people that wants to speak in tongues. Now, the ideal is that you have one person to get up and speak in tongues. And if that first person does not interpret what they say, the ideal is to say this, okay, I'm going to talk to you privately. And they sit down. And if the second person begins to speak in tongues and they don't interpret what they said, the thing is to say, you know, we're going to stop this right now. The third person does not get up and speak. Because what we're going to do is, after service over, I'm going to bring all you all in, and we're going to delegate that whenever you speak in tongues, which is a good thing, but we want to make sure that everybody understands what you're saying. You have to bring them in, and you have to corporately correct them. Does it make sense? I'm quite sure y'all wouldn't have co-workers going around cussing your customers out, and you pull them in and say, wait a minute. We don't do that here. We don't cuss our customers out. Likewise, we do not offend the saints and the believers. We build them up. Now, that also to say is that sometimes you have to put a time limit on people. You have to say, okay, you know what? I know the Spirit wants to move through you, but you're not going to have 45 minutes to speak in tongues. Some people will do that. Some people say, I have a word from God. I got God. No, but you know what? Before you get up and speak in tongues, hey, I'm going to give you 2 to 3 minutes to say what you got to say. You have to do this. See, this called church discipline, church order. And I think Ms. Vim is saying we have to have order of the church. Because the ideal is that you want to be quick. The Spirit is always quick to say what he got to say, and then the Spirit is gone. We want to keep less confusion. Now, I know you want to say something. I know people want to say something. I know they want to speak in tongues, but don't prostitute the Gospels. Don't prostitute God's command for the church. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 37th and the 38th verse says, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commands of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let them be ignorant. What Paul is saying is, look, if they don't listen to you the first time and you tell them that they need to interpret what they say, Paul says the next time they do not speak. Or maybe not restrict them from doing it. Because Paul says that this is the command of God. And Paul simply tells the Corinthian church, look, when you speak in tongues, we want to have it interpreted. And if you fail to do this, there is no option. I know people say they want to say something. I know. But Paul says, fine. But if they refuse to do this, then we have to restrict them from speaking in tongues. Now, Paul even goes as far as to say, I'm going to get to that in just a moment. I want to try to follow along my script here. But Paul simply, his whole goal was not to restrict people. He wants to correct. He would rather correct them rather than restrict them from speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 40th verse says, let all things be done in decency and in order. The whole goal is not to confuse the people, nor to disrupt the order of service. We will allow people to speak freely, Now, I will also say, if someone comes to me, or should I say this? Let me say this. If someone comes to the pastor and they're accredited believer, they're an accredited speaker, and what I mean by that is that they work according to the work and the orders of the church, I will allow them that floor as long as they go to the pastor and say, "Pastor, if there is room for me to speak today, I have something now I want to share with the congregation that the Lord wanted to give me something." But if you say no, I want to be a follower along to the cording of the orders of the church. But if the pastor says yes or no, then that's according to the pastor. But I would rather have someone who spent 5 or 10 years that I'm acquainted with to speak in tongues rather than someone off the streets to come in here and say whatever they want to say without no filter. I was watching, and I'm hoping y'all don't get offended what I'm saying is, but I was watching Juanita Bynum. And man, this lady, nothing wrong with her ministry and what she does. I have no offense to get that. But my only thing is that I was listening to her on a TV program, and she's supposed to be a pastor, a prophet, if I'm not mistaken. Prophet. And as she was speaking, she began to speak in tongues, and she carried on for a whole minute and never at any moment interpret what she said. And then not only that, but she had over 15 women to speak in tongues, and never nobody, according to what I hear, no one interpreted. And what they did was they prostituted the commands of God. You must interpret. Even if you're on live TV, you do the same thing applies in private. Amen. Now, it sounds good. It sounds prophetical. But we want to follow according to God's plan. Tongues in the church, in the Corinthian church, was way out of order. Way out of order. See, because when Paul left the Corinthian church, he left leaders in order. He left leaders in charge to carry out the charge of the church. But what happened was months later, after he left, the church began to fall. And it began to become, people began to become selfish. They began to say, "Look at me, I'm speaking in tongues, and I'm more spiritual than you." But all they were doing is just putting on a show. They were putting on a show. They was misusing their gift, not benefiting from. They were not benefiting from it. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, says, Paul says, above all the gifts, if you don't have love, you're just a clamoring cymbal. And Paul says, you need to just stop because it's itching to the ears. It's noisy if you don't have love. And that's why Paul had to, first of all, he had to correct him, and now he wants to restrict him, which he doesn't really want to do, but he has to restrict him. And Paul says in the 34th verse, he said, "Let the women be silent in church." Like now. Just mess with y'all. He said, "Let the women be silent in church, and let them not speak." Now, I don't really want to focus on this right now because that's not my focus today, but I'll talk about this further in details later. But what happened also, he even tells the women to be silent, but the reason why the women were clamoring on like they were because most of the men were allowing this stuff to happen. None of the men who were in the leadership said nothing at all. Until someone wrote a letter to Paul, giving them a status of the church, and Paul writes back saying, "Oh, this is way out of hand." I don't care how fast you talk, how well you speak in tongues, how great of a show you put on, but if you don't speak love, if you don't have love, it's just noise. This is why the gifts were given, because the gifts of the Spirit was given not so you can be selfish, not also we can be arrogant, but the gifts were given because God wants to show love towards us. That's the reason why. God wants to build us up. That's love. And if you don't have love for the sinner, if you don't have love to edify the believer, if you don't have love to comfort all, the best thing to do is shut up. See, people give when they hear your story. And when they hear your story, they do it out of love. When you see a homeless person on the street and they hear your story and they say, "Man, I'm sorry that you went through that, but brother, here's something out of love for you. It's not much, but I love you." We are not to carry on like, y'all ever been in a chicken coop? A chicken coop with all a lot of chickens, and all the chickens are talking at one same time. No one can understand, and I'm not calling women chickens, but what I'm saying is that but we know. See, I'm going to touch on this and I'm going to move on, y'all. Men understand how women are. We love you, but one thing that a man loves, out of all things in the world, a man wants to come home where there's peace. A man doesn't want to hear all that nagging, or we call it cackling hens, to we're going to ask Mitch to come up to pray for us. Oh, God. No wonder I'm up here sweating. But 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 16th verse says, "What shall it profit except I speak revelations to you? What shall it profit me if I speak knowledge to you? What does it profit me?" Paul says it gains nothing at all if you have all this knowledge and you don't show love. What good is it does? But all it does is show us your arrogance and your boastfulness. You're trying to show off how much you know. Paul said, it doesn't matter if I came down, I spoke as a tongue of angels in an unknown language. If I'm not motivated by love, it matters nothing at all. But the 28th verse says, "But if there is no interpreter, let them keep silence in the church." And this applies, I think Paul applies also to men too. Men is not exempted. Men can carry on too. But Paul says if there is no interpreter, if you can't interpret it yourself, Paul says just get along by yourself and just pray to God. Just leave it like that. Don't come out and say I'm speaking in tongues. Look at me. Listen to me. Paul said if you can't interpret it, Paul said just keep a humble spirit and just pray to God among yourself. Now let me go on. Do I got more time? I got more time. On the day of Pentecost, Pentecost means, in the Greek, is penta means, as you know, it means five sides. Just like the Pentagons that we have in the United States, it have five sides. And cost, the word cost at the end of Pentecost, means to the fifth power. Meaning that you time, 5 times 10 means 50. So in other words, 50 after the first Sabbath day was on the Passover, which also was God's intention to be 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. They began to speak in tongues after 50 days after the death of the resurrection of Christ. Now, the Bible says that they heard them speak in tongues. Now, it doesn't say that they spoke it fluently. The Bible says that the people of Jerusalem heard them speak fluently. Now, I come to believe that when the Spirit of God came through the doors and it rushed in there like a mighty wind, that when it filled them up, I don't believe that they had a dialogue to speak in tongues about. I don't even think that they gave a whole paragraph of what they of what the Spirit said. It may have been a repetitive words that was coming out of their mouth. They may have been saying something over and over and over again and say another word over and over again. They may have said one word over. They may have said one sentence over and over in a consecutive sentence. Now, it's amazing that when the Spirit of God comes in and dwells within them, one of the first things he changes is what? Their language. It's amazing that in the Genesis, that when God says, "Let us go down," when they're building the Tower of Babel, God came down. It's amazing that one of the first things that God did was what? Change their language. That's very important, because when God comes into your life, one of the first things he wants to change is change your language. Cussing got to stop. Degrading people have to stop. Gossip has to stop. God wants to change within you. Now, the gift of tongues is an expressional gift. Therefore, so when we speak, we submit our hearts to God. So when we speak in tongues, it's though that the Spirit comes down and he moves within us. And then, yes, he speaks through our mouths, but guess what? Our minds is not empty, as the Pentecostals believe. They say our minds must be empty and allow the Spirit to move. That is not the case. It's okay for the Spirit to come down and speak and use our tongue. That's great. But Paul puts it better. Paul says that when the Spirit comes down, the Spirit, and while the Spirit is speaking, we're praying in our minds for the interpretation of it. And it's amazing that the second chapter and the third verse says, "And there appeared unto them them clothed in tongues like as a fire." See, this is one gift. You have the gift of prophecy. You have the gift of evangelist, the gift of pastor, the gift of giving. You have all these gifts. One of the main gifts that's untamable is the tongue. Because Luke says it best. It's like fire. You can't control it. Once that it goes and God is speaking, it's just going to keep rolling. The word's just going to keep coming. And there is also an understanding why he's rolling too. But the third verse says, clothing tongues. Now, the word clothing has a meaning of split. Has a meaning of divide. What they were saying was that they have tongues that are actually double talking. So when they speak, y'all know our tongue, it flaps going up and it flaps going down, right? They are double talking. They're using half words going up and half words coming down. So they're saying words, but it's a half of a word up and half of the word down. And then the Galileans, the Jerusalem people were standing around and said, "I don't understand what they're saying. They're double talking." It's almost like they're talking backwards. But what happened was, because they were double talking, speaking in the tongues of angels, that the announcination is not actually clear to them. The gift of tongues, act according to your will first. Your will. Because when you submit to God, and God wants to come in and cooperate with you, So he can have cooperation, first of all, so he can have full operation. This gift can become uncontrollable. That's why we want the Spirit to move and speak as he being. Now, can I say one thing before I end? Can you pray for this gift? You know, you heard many people say, the Bible, and I'm going to go say something in a minute, but you heard people say that you can pray for certain gifts and God will give it to you. And some people say, and the Bible does say, does not have the gift. He gave some gifts. He gave some the gift of pastor, teacher. He gave some prophecy, some speaking in tongues. Though not all have the gifts. You hear that? You hear this controversy. Now, I feel that you don't have to pray for this gift. The reason why I say that, because if you do pray for it, there's a great chance that you might not get it. Anyone feels that they have the gift, Paul says God gave various types of gifts. But I'm going to say this, y'all. If the Spirit of God lives within me, and as long as I have the Spirit of God, you all know what? As long as I'm making myself available to God, God can use me in any way he can. If God decides to speak in tongues to me, I may have not spoken in tongues ever in my life, 20, 30, 40 years. God may use me just at one time to speak in tongues and may never use me again. When When it comes to, y'all remember the story, I don't want to go too far into it, Balaam's donkey? When Balaam was riding the donkey, and of course there was an angel Lord in front of Balaam, and Balaam was he was on the horse, and he was walking across a narrow path between two buildings, and somehow the donkey saw the angel of the Lord in front of him, and the donkey went sideways, and he scraped his leg. And he started beating the horse, just started beating the donkey. And God gave this donkey utterance to say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Haven't I served you all the days of my life? And you're going to beat me like this? I don't get this. I'm not sure if the donkey called. Maybe that's where the word come from, Jack. Come from. But it shows you that God can do whatever he pleases to get a message through. What I'm saying that God is the giver of the gift. And if he decides to say, you know what, Michael, I generally use so-and-so as to speak in tongues. I generally use so-and-so to prophesy. But since they're sick or they're out today, Michael, I'm going to use you. Because you made yourself submissive to God. You made yourself available to me. So I'm going to use you in wherever I want to use you, Michael. Now, that may also to say that if someone comes into this ministry and someone wants to use their gift, I'm talking about someone off the street. If someone comes into ministry and you know how people are when they come into ministry, they got this zeal of God. They got this word of God. They want to be able to work in the ministry. And once that you put a nuzzle on their mouth, then they want to stop. They don't want to come no more. Like, wait a minute, I'm trying to do. But what happens is when people come into the ministry, what they need to do, they need to sit on the bench for several years. Listen to what I'm saying. Because the thing is, we want to see their service. We want to see their heart for the ministry. We want to see how they were able to submit to other organizations in the church. We want to be able to see if they support other ministries in the church before we ever allow you to do anything in corporate church. The reason is before we want to see their attendance. We want to make sure that they're teaching the same teaching that we are. We have to screen people. And if there is an opportunity, the pastor will say, you know what, I evaluated you. I looked at you for several years, and I noticed how you sit there and you're submissive, and you ask me whatever, you pastor, anything you want me to do. I clean the church. I cut the grass. The pastor may say, you know what, I only need you to do this one thing for me. Would you mind praying over service today? If they continue sharing their gift in the ministry, there may be an occasion where you can cooperate with the pastor. Now, let me close by saying this. There are things worse than speaking in tongues. There's nothing, as I said before, there's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. I've never spoken in tongues. But that's not to say that God won't use me. But the worst thing, you know the worst thing that's worse than speaking in tongues? The worst thing than speaking in tongues is gossip. I would rather have someone come up here and blabble and gibber and speak in tongues and they may not interpret what they say. I would rather have that than for them to get up here and speak lies to someone. I don't want someone to get up here and deceive and air out people's dirty laundry in front of the whole congregation. I would rather have somebody get up here and blabber. So what is our aim? What is our aim when we're speaking in tongues? The pastor's aim is for the church to be a well-balanced church. In the sacraments, in giving, love, and the word, and the gift of the spirits, we worship God in spirit and truth. And yes, the pastor is the pastor of the church, but he wants everyone to contribute to the body. And where there's no, where we cannot feel inferior in our participation. This ought to be a place where you can be equipped and equip others. We give and we take. We're hurt and we heal. This will be a place where God's divine hands touch someone's life. Let us pray. Lord, today, whatever your plan is, whatever your will is, Father, I may not understand it, Father, how you view my situation, how you resolve this situation, how you spoken into that situation of my life, Father. I may not understand the outcome, but I know, Father, that you know all and you are God. You know the beginning and the end and everything in between. Lord, use me. Lord, speak as I cooperate with you, as you take full cooperation within me, Father. Oh, Father, right now, Father, interpret your love towards me so I can interpret your love towards others, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.